gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for spending our lives to see the beginning of another month, the sixth month of the year. Thank you for being everything to us this past month. The wonderful cares, your favor, your blessing, your protection, and your grace upon our lives, the testimonies that you have given us. We are grateful to you. We bless you, Father. Lord, it can only be you, Lord, for us to have crossed these first 5 months, Lord, successfully in bringing us to the sixth month. We know that your grace that saw us through these first 5 months will be multiplied unto us to see us through this month and the rest of the months, Lord. That more wonderful testimonies will be added to our lives, that all our expectations spiritually and physically will be handy for us to give testimony to your glory of your name. We commit ourselves to you this morning, that you be our help. Master, make yourself known to us in your special way. Draw us closer to you, speak to our hearts, to lift the saint to higher ground, to fill with the Holy Spirit, to draw sinner to yourself. Master, Savior, to heal the sick, Lord, let it be eternal. Father, let the light of your presence bathe every one of us. Let darkness be dispelled. Let your glory be seen. Let your name be glorified. The entire services of the day will come into you, that you come and take preeminence, Lord. Let the blessings be ours, and the glory and honor will be yours, Lord. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to 1 John chapter 1. The we'll read verse 5 to 7. Verse 5 to 7. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 from verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and deliver unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. You can please be seated. We welcome ourselves to the Sunday school. May the Lord be our blessings. God bless you. This other part of the topic, the power in the blood of Jesus, is to be addressed this morning. And that is asking two questions. Asking two questions. The first question is, how can a person come under the protection of the church? How can a person come under the protection of the church? We put it like that. And you will say, why the church? Why not the blood? And we will understand it. And then the second question is, how can somebody come away from under the blood? How can somebody be removed from under the protection of the church? And you will still say, why the protection of the church? Why not the blood? We will understand it. Because there is no way you will be under the protection of the blood without you first of all belonging to the church. You cannot be under the protection of the blood without first being a member of the church. Praise be to God. Let's read from the basis of fellowship. From paragraph 125. The base of fellowship is 6102. 1-4. Paragraph 125. We start from there. Paragraph 125. Are you there? Now, the sinner came by, he was unclean. The sinner came by, he was unclean. Now notice the water of separation, the ashes mixed with water, which means the spirit of life and so forth. That's a deep teaching also. But it was to be sprinkled from his sins with the water of separation. Now, my Baptist brother, I want to ask you something. If justification is all God requires, I'd like to ask you this. When the man was separated by the waters of separation, sprinkled, then that sprinkling is not the water, is not the New Testament sprinkling. It is the Old Testament sprinkling. When the animal recommended by God has been killed and is born, the ashes of it is taken and is mixed with water. And then hyssop is deep into it and is sprinkled upon the unclean. That's what it's talking about. So when the man was separated by the waters of separation sprinkled, then he could not yet enter into the worship of the glory of the Lord. He could not do it because he was only sprinkled from his sins. It separated him from his sins, but did not put him in fellowship. Are you saying that? Now, in the New Testament, is a sinner who hears the word and believes and goes for justification and goes for water baptism after repentance and goes for water baptism is equal. It's the same thing with that person. The water of separation. The person has had the gospel and he believes the gospel, repented, and surrendered himself or himself for water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not sprinkling, immersion. Then the prophet said, the person's sins of the past, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses it. That the past of the person is taken care of. But the person is not truly justified. God still holds things against him because his nature is unchanged yet. So he still has the tendency to sin. That's why anytime he sins, he has to make it right. So that sin can come under the blood again. So it's the same thing with this person in the Old Testament. Once he's sprinkled, is at the stage of justification. He's not yet in fellowship. John chapter 4. John, the book of John chapter 4. That's where Jesus Christ met that woman at the well. And he told her that the Father seeketh. Let's read this little part of it. All right. From verse 19. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Our father worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, as it was in the Old Testament, that once the man is sprinkled with the blood, he is cleansed from his sins, then he is separated from his sins, but is not in fellowship yet. Because where true fellowship was in the Old Testament was to enter into Shekinah glory. But they couldn't do that. You all know that. Three stages. It's only the priest that will enter the holy place and the high priest the most holy place in the Old Testament. But on the basis of the fact that they have been forgiven, they are accepted. But the prophet said, then the person, but he did not put him in fellowship. That is right. It only separated him from his sins. Now Ephesians say, we are washed by the water of the word. Now hearing the word and being just as religious as you want to be, your pastor is scholar and your doctor of divinity, a scholar, still don't know, still that don't put us in fellowship. Whatever achievement we have, academic, whatever. No, sir, it will not do it, because they were only separated from their sins. Now, justification was Martin Luther's doctrine. We know that. Being justified by faith, and still it didn't bring a fellowship. Now, we know the next thing the believer had to do after being separated from his sins then. What did he do? The next thing you do is turn towards the courts. The Old Testament. There are three courts. Well, we call it three courts. Because the outer court, we call the outer court. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 9, you will see that they talk about two places. You talk, the outer one is not mentioned in a way. So that you don't get, let's suspend this. Go back to Hebrews chapter 9 so that you can get what I'm saying very clearly. Hebrews chapter 9. All right. From verse 1. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service. Please, as you pay your offering, don't be distracted. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. Do you see that? Do we have the picture? Can you give us on the board? Because I want to make clarification here. Sorry. We usually present it this way. Three courts. This is outer court. We call this outer court. This is the holy place. This is the most holy place, or holiest of all. You see, look at that picture there. The outside, where you see the burning taking place, that's the outer court. We call it that. The Bible here and in Hebrew didn't talk about that place. Are you following that? So that you don't get it confused. But that is the outer court where sinners come and be washed. And in the Old Testament, that is the only place when the women do their purification, that is the only place they can enter into. Beyond that, you can't go beyond that. I mean, this outer part. They come through the gate. They do all they want to do. But from there, the high priest is the one that entered into, the priest entered the most and the holy place every now and then to do sacrifice for everyone that wants to do this. But the most holy place is once. He entered that place once in a year. And before he will enter there, he had to make sacrifice for himself according to the prescription God gave before he can be qualified to make sacrifice for the sins of the Israelites that came seeking mercy from God. Praise be to God. Leave that. I will be reading. They will follow me. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is, I think we have it in different views. I think I provided it then. Where you have, where is open, where is, before it's fully built, where you can see the area view of the holy place and the most holy place before it's covered.
Don't worry, maybe I will get it.
All right.
And now the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which are the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlay round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that bordered and the tables of the covenant. And over here the cherubim, the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. But Abraham spoke about it. Because in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. So that's why the prophet could tell us that the outer court here represents justification. Why? The holy place represents sanctification. And the most holy place represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. All right, let's move on to the quotes we are reading. Yeah, now we know the next thing the believer has to do after being separated from his sin. Then what did he do? The next thing you do is turn towards the courts. And notice, oh my, I feel religious when I talk about this. But the next thing he has to look at, he had seven stripes of blood before him to show that the seven stripes meant the seven church ages or the 7,000 years at every age had to be represented by the blood. Nothing else. No other way. The blood. From Genesis to Revelation, from Eden to the millennium, is the blood and nothing but the blood. Another thing, the believer had to recognize this. The believer coming in now is not in fellowship yet. Yet he is separated from his sins, but he's not in fellowship. He had to recognize that the blood went before him. Something died to go before him. And that's the Hebrews 13:12 and 13 said, Jesus suffered without delay that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. You see, that brings you Methodist up, all right? For your sanctification, still not in fellowship. Even sanctification does not bring the person in fellowship. So if you are justified, you are still just justification, you are not yet in, you are still fellowshipping outside. If you are sanctified, you are still fellowshipping outside. Because according to John chapter 4, where we started reading the other time, Jesus Christ told the woman that though you worship on this mountain, but a time comes that the true worshipper will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that is what Jesus actually came to accomplish, to make worshiping God in spirit and in truth possible. And that's by the blood that he shed to give forgiveness for our sins, to forgive, to sanctify us by his blood, and life from that blood coming upon the believer to dwell in that believer to make him worship God in spirit and in truth. Praise be to God. Right. But when he was inside the building, but you could fellowship with one another, greet one another, but not to fellowship with God yet. So the brother in sanctification, the brother in justification, we just shake hands together and we are fellowshipping with ourselves physically. But the person is not fellowshipping with God. And that's why the prophet told us in the series of the sermons, why are people so tossed about? And the series of sermons like that. That the prophet said they eat manna. And that manna does not last. Because the spirit is not there. So it is when a man is filled with the Spirit that the word of God stays in the heart of that person. In fulfillment of Jeremiah chapter 31, that Jesus said that this is the new covenant that we make with you. Instead of writing my laws in tables of stones and things, he said, I will now write it in the tables of their hearts, so that they will not need to be taught know the law. He said, they shall all know me from the young to the oldest. Everybody, it's the Spirit that will now be their teacher, teaching them the right thing. And that's why the prophet said that when you are Holy Spirit filled, you don't come to the church to be built up. The prophet said you are always built up. You are always encouraged. The Spirit takes care of you. Hallelujah. So, now, the person, how can a person come under the protection of the church? That's what we are trying to address. Praise be to God. Now, for the person to come under the protection of the blood, because I said initially the protection of the church, because that if you search the quote, you will hear protection of the church. That way you will see. You will not see protection of the, under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's under the protection of the church. It is the church then, when the church is Holy Ghost church, the church is under the blood of Jesus Christ. So an individual that is filled with the Holy Spirit now is under the blood individually. But somebody that is not yet in fellowship, that's not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, is not yet fully under the blood, but is under the protection of the church that is under the blood of Jesus Christ. I hope you get it. Do you get it? If you don't get it, let me see your, you don't get it, let me see your hand up. Okay? Who else? Okay. Okay. Now, when you repent and you give your life to Jesus, after you have heard the gospel, you repented, you go for water baptism, and you are, your sins are forgiven. You are justified. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses your sin from you. But your nature, the Adamic nature, still remains. So you can't fellowship with God in your Adamic nature. You are not yet under the blood of Jesus Christ, as they were in Egypt, when they had to kill animal and stay in the door and put the blood on the lintel and the doorposts. What makes a man to be under that blood is by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to the sermon, series of sermon, the prophet preached on token, the token, you will understand that. The prophet said, is the token. Token is the life of God, that Holy Spirit that must come upon the believer today. So that when God sees the blood, then we pass over. Death angel. And that's why whosoever believes my word is passed from death unto life. Passed from death. Death angel can never strike. So when a man repents and is justified, then your sins are forgiven you. But you are not yet in fellowship yet. So let me blend it together with this. We talk about this justification, sanctification, and Holy Ghost baptism. That's why the prophet says, now this person is not in fellowship yet. This person is not in fellowship yet. This person is the only one in fellowship. God's chosen place of worship is in Christ. And we come into Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's when we are worshiping. That's when we are serving God in spirit and in truth. Are you here? Please don't be distracted. Now, Holy Ghost puts you in fellowship. Sanctification does not put you there. You are still outside of fellowship. Still with Adamic nature. With Adamic nature. Still with Adamic nature. But with the nature of God. At Holy Ghost baptism. Adamic nature is gone. It is the nature of God. A man at sanctification still have Adamic nature. Justified person still has Adamic nature. And that is why prophet says that a man can be justified and may not be sanctified. And this man can also be sanctified, may not be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because a person that is there is not yet in God. A person here is not yet in God. So if they are not yet in God, then they are not yet fellowshipping with God. And the prophet said, God justified the man, sanctify him, and set him aside for service. An elect will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So now we are now saying, how can the church member be moved out of the blood from under? How can he come under the blood? Is by this way that we are talking about. That is why a man can come under the blood of Jesus Christ. But you come under the protection of the church when you become a church member by repenting of your sins and go for water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. You fellowship with the brethren. The protection of the blood which the church is under protects you. Are you here? Is that understood? God bless you. Now, the second question is, how can a person come out from under the blood? How can the person be removed from under the protection of the church? How can that person be removed from the protection of the church? Because the church has protection. The Holy Ghost Church. Are you getting me? The Holy Ghost Church. Not every church is under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know that in the Revelation of the seven seals, the prophet made a statement. Is there the Pentecostal, the Pentecostal denomination? We are Pentecostals. But we are not Pentecostal denominations. Because we are not Orthodox. We are full Bible believers. Full gospel believers. So, the denomination, the prophet said, do you know that they are not actually under the blood? He said, even though they say that, he said, but they are not actually under the blood. Why? Because they are not filled with the genuine Holy Ghost. So anybody belonging to the denomination is not under the blood. It's not under the blood. And what is denomination? Denomination is an assembly, a congregation, a family, an individual that we add to God's word or take away from God's word. The problem is that an individual can denominate, a family can denominate, a group can denominate, a church can denominate, but you cannot denominate the church of God. So if the denomination, if they are not actually under the blood, what does that tell you? It means their members are not under the blood. They are not under protection of the blood. So, but it's only in Malachi 4 church, churches that are under the blood, that the Holy Ghost is in the church. And when the Holy Ghost is in the church, it's in the preachers, it's in the church members. That's an Holy Ghost church. That's why the prophet said you have to know the church you choose as your own assembly. If you choose a church that does not believe the full gospel, you suffer it. We appreciate God for his grace upon us. Praise be to God. So, how can a person be removed from under the blood? So, the prophet in the Why Are We Not a Denomination? 5809-27. Just look for the year. Oh my, that would be easier for you. 5809-27. Paragraph 195. The prophet narrated a case of okay, it's very lengthy, but I pray this time will be sufficient for us. Now, how can a person come out from under the blood? The prophet relates with Matthew chapter 18. Please, let's pick Matthew. Open your Bible to Matthew chapter 18, everyone. And we will read Matthew 18. I'm going to read from verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I want you to watch what the Lord Jesus Christ said there. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And him alone. If your brother trespass against you, go and tell him, go to him and tell him alone. Don't tell another person. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglects to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. There are scriptures that go together. Verse 15 to that verse 18 go together. The effect of the brother not seeking to be reconciled is to be declared as a publican and as a heathen. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right, let's look at what the prophet says in why are we not a denomination. Now we can tell you why we take communion. We tell you why we take feet washing. We just did that Friday by His grace. We won't let the members take it if we know they are in sin. That's why these last two or three weeks I've been going from one member to the other. And I want us to listen closely. We need to listen very closely. Been going from one member to the other. Well, where you've been having your little fuses around too, going around, one wouldn't speak to the other, and pass one another on the road and turn your head. Shame on you. Who has taken the blessed cup of God across the altar here and call you brothers and sisters, and then get on the telephone and guard off about one another, get on the phone, gossiping, talking evil about one another on the phone. You see, guard off about. See, when we talk about it, it looks as if you have somebody that you are trying to. It's general. It's general. You know, the spirit of truth addresses the situation of the people. It doesn't matter where that is found. It doesn't matter where it's found. Whoever is guilty of it is guilty of it. So the word must take effect in our lives. So you are not fit to be called Christian when you are that way. You see, you get up on the phone and pick for and talk about one another in a bad manner. You are not fit to be called Christians when you are that way, right? You keep off them telephones. If you can't talk good about somebody, don't you talk about that. Don't you talk at all. You see, if you can't talk good about somebody, don't you talk at all. So in other words, somebody want to know something about you, I have to say good things about you. That's what the prophet is saying. Rather than say bad things about you, I have to keep quiet if I cannot say good things. Let the person go and find out by himself. Let her go and find out by herself. That's the quote. Am I making that up myself? No, I want to ask very well. Am I making that up myself? If you can't talk good about somebody, don't you talk at all. If you can't talk good about somebody, that's what it says. In other words, it's compulsory for you as a Christian to talk good about one another. The Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin. Love does not expose another person's sin. You only see the way you help your brother out of the problem. Not to blackmail him, not to degrade him and finish him before the people. What are you going to gain from that? Don't you talk at all. Remember, God is going to hold you responsible. As long as that kind of spirit is in you, you know you are not right with God. Oh, if a man is in the wrong, go to him and be reconciled. If you can't be reconciled, take somebody with you. As we read in Matthew chapter 18 just now. No wonder God can't discipline his church, because you are not doing it right. Instead of getting on the phone and talking about this one, what's taking place, and little court and so forth, around like that, instead of doing that, why don't you do what the Bible says? If some brother has been overtaken in a fault, go to him and see if you can get him reconciled. Get reconciled with him. Well, now, he did me. I don't care what he did. Go to him anyhow. He didn't say for him to come to you. You go to him if he's wrong. Now, if a brother wronged me, now if he did evil to me, many of us will say, well, he has to come to me to come and apologize. He has to come to me to come and talk. The prophet said, you go to him. The Bible does not say he will come to you, because he's wrong. You go to him. You go to him if he's wrong. You say, well, he was in the wrong. He ought to come to me. That is not what the Bible said. The Bible said for you to go to him. If he's wrong, you go to him. And then if he won't listen to you, then take somebody with you as a witness. Just like the Bible says it here. And then if you won't see that witness, then say, well, now I will take your pastor. Then you tell him, say, I am going to tell it to the church. And in 30 days from now, if you brethren haven't made that up, this brother here is willing to be reconciled. You won't do it. And if you won't make that up within 30 days, then what is going to happen? You are no more one of us. Just that simple. And then what is the offense? The prophet is not specified the particular offense. It could be any offense that the other party is not ready to be reconciled. Whatever offense. The Bible says, if he won't hear the church, then let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. You see, as long as the brother is under the protection of the church, this year will come. As long as the brother is under the protection of the church, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ is protecting him. You see, we have come to that now. That is the reason we don't get the church rolling on the way it does. Now, right? This is the doctrine of the Abraham tabernacle here. If you will do it. May God be gracious to us. The way a man can be brought from under the protection of the blood of Jesus is for the church to lose him. Or the church to lose her. The blood is the one that protects. It's not the church. But the church, if the church, because the church is Holy Ghost church, the blood of Jesus Christ protects every member that is there. Whether you are filled with the Holy Spirit or not. But when a Henry brother refuses to be reconciled, and the church has to take decision to excommunicate, that's declaring the person as a heathen as a publican means to excommunicate that person. So when is a heathen and a publican to you, then he doesn't fellowship with you any longer. He can't come in you don't have any spiritual activity to do with him. Because he's a publican and a heathen. You don't fellowship with heathens. Do you? But you can greet them, you can talk to them, you could be walking in the same place, you can do any other thing. When you see a heathen, you greet them. When you see a publican, you greet them. But when it comes to spiritual activities, you don't get involved with them. May God be our help. Let's bow down on our heads. God bless you, sir.
I bless the Lord. We thank you again this morning for bringing us together at thy feet. Thank you for your word that we have just heard again. Lord, we have all heard it. May it not go from one ear, come out from the other. May it reside in our hearts. May it give us revelation of the same and ability to live by the same. Grant it, Father. The word you have said, it is not the hearers only that are justified, but the doers of your word. Be privileged to hear it. Give us grace to be doers of the same. Grant it, Father. We look unto you, Master, for the rest of the activities of the day. Take glory, take honor, take praises, take adoration. Let the blessings as they accumulate, O God, even to the last service of the day. Let it be our Father. Be with your children and all the nations of the world. Let us worship him like we have come together to do today. Thank you, Father. We are grateful, Lord. Be with our Sunday school superintendent, bring him back safely when he shall be coming. May your name be praised, Father. In Jesus' precious name we are praying with faith and thanksgiving. Amen.